Welcome to the New Reality Show, where you can call in live for laser coaching and engage in Q&A with Drs. Art Emmerich and Christina Winzi. Discover how to master the power of your mind, body, and spiritual energies. Get empowered to create your new reality for more happiness, well-being, and success.
Here we are again.
Here we are again. Hello, Dr. Chris.
Hello, Dr. Art. It's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Hello out there in television and radio land. We're very excited to be back. This is going to be a great show. And if you're new to our show, this is New Reality Solutions. And we started this show to help people, especially because of the last 2 years and how stressful everything's been. And we decided, you know what, we can only help so many people in our offices one-on-one. We wanted to help large groups of people and just spread the love, spread solutions to stress and anxiety and all of that kind of thing.
All that stuff.
So tonight's show is getting what you want to come to you and answering the question, why do some people or many people struggle to get what they want while it seems so easy for others? Is the law of attraction scientific, or is it really about spirituality, or maybe it's about both? Maybe science and spirit are proving to be one and the same. And how can you access it to achieve your desired outcomes more easily? So pretty excited about this topic. I love this topic.
And I can't wait to hear what you're going to tell.
Well, you know, we both have so much information that melds the science and the spirit. I think it's going to be pretty cool. Yeah. I just want to thank our subscribers. We have some faithful subscribers who are supporting the show. And if you get value out of the show, please consider being a subscriber. It helps us keep the lights on. There are costs to doing the show, and it is a labor of love, and we give it out. And we just always appreciate if someone wants to support our efforts. And the way that you do that is you go to the show page and you can click on the link that that Thomas is showing. Thomas is our wonderful engineer. And you can start at $2.99 or you can go all the way up to whatever you want on the choices there. So thank you so much to our subscribers. So with that, I want to give you the floor, Dr. Art, for your tip of the week.
Oh, okay, good. Well, in keeping with the one word tip process we've started, the word for the tip this week is imagination. As far as we know, we're the only creatures that have an imagination that is at our beck and call. We can imagine literally anything, even impossible things. In fact, somebody, I don't remember who it was, said, if I don't think at least two impossible thoughts before breakfast, I feel like I've wasted the whole morning, you know. So, so Albert Einstein said, logic will get you from A to Z, but imagination will get you everywhere. So what we're going to be talking a lot about tonight is a very productive and very straightforward use of your imagination to help you create the life you want. So just remember, it's available. If you don't use it, it's just sitting there waiting to be called on.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. You know, it's amazing how children imagine with no problem. And somehow over the years, people stop learning how to believe or make believe or envision. So
I love working with children with hypnosis, because they come in, they're already in a trance to begin with, you know, and so they say, oh, I got this problem, and mom wants to tell me what it is. I said, okay, mom, this is not for you. Let's hear what they have to say, you know, and they come up with, well, I pulled the skin on my lips and it burns, and I like balsamic vinaigrette dressing, and it hurts, and so I want to quit biting my lip, you know. And I say, okay, fine. So are you familiar with the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, or do you have another superhero that, and I say, okay, let's pretend like you're one of them, you know, and boom, and they're in it, you know, I mean, they're doing it. So it's just amazing. Great how they just jump, but this imagination is fired all the time. It's going, and apparently the educational process weeds that out of us, so adults don't have much of it going on for pretty quick. You know, so
yeah,
get back in there and use it. It's really fun. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, what we want to do tonight is we want to talk about foundational concepts of science and of spirit, so that we help you really understand how the two meld and how to utilize the law of attraction in a way that is leveraging what's naturally in you. So it's very, very powerful. What's naturally in the quantum field, quantum physics, and what's naturally in your capability as a human being with your mind, body, and spirit. So the first foundational concept is quantum physics, which is, of course, science, and the fact that everything is energy. And so energy cannot be destroyed. It is only changed. So certain electrical impulses can become heat, but it's not destroying those electrical impulses. It's changing the energy into heat. Mm-hmm. So thoughts are electrical and emotions are magnetic. And we're going to get more into that. But because everything is energy, this is very important to understand that energy has a frequency. So when you think about a musical instrument, it plays different notes. And you'll notice that the low notes, if you were to see them on a sine wave, they have longer waves. But high notes are like this. And think of a soprano singing. And why does she break the glass? Because she's vibrating, the high note is vibrating, and it's affecting the glass. And so the glass shatters when her vibration reaches the same vibration as the molecules in the glass.
She's putting more energy into that glass molecule than it's able to sustain. And so it just flies apart, you know, it just shatters.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. So what we also know is that the lower emotions are a negative, you know, anger, hatred, those emotions have the low frequency. And the higher emotions like love and peace and gratitude all have a higher frequency. So it's energy in the form of frequency, and electrical impulses are a frequency. Mm-hmm. So this is very important to understand. But also, let's talk a little, Dr. Art, about the quantum field and quantum entanglements, because that's another part of the quantum physics I think people should know.
The quantum entanglement is based on the idea that we are energy, of course, and we are radiating that energy out all the time. And we are also being impacted by other people's radiations of energy that come to us. And so a practical experience you may have had, you walk into a room and there's somebody in there that you don't know, and you just think right away, I don't care for that person. That something about them, you know, is just doesn't feel good, doesn't feel right. You are experiencing their energy, and it's incompatible with your energy. So, great idea. Don't stay away from that person because that's not a good match. Right. Or conversely, you might walk in a room and somebody you've never seen before, and you say, "Ooh, I think I'm going to like that person," and you don't even know why. You don't know a thing about them. They haven't said anything. They haven't done anything. It's because you are becoming entangled in their energy field. Mm-hmm. And we know scientifically that the field extends at least 6 feet out from our body. And the reason we say 6 feet is because the instruments we have to measure it, that's as far as they're able to measure. They think it may go for miles, or maybe thousands of miles even, but we don't have any instruments that can prove that or measure it. So they can measure 6 feet. So anyway, just the idea that, for example, Dr. Chris and I have been working together a lot, and we're on this program now together. Our energy is quite entangled, and we have a harmonious experience of that, and that's why we wanted to work together. And if it had not been harmonious, we wouldn't be here together working with you. It was dependent on that. So that quantum field is just evidence that the ultra small does not work the same way as the universe we live in, the Newtonian universe. Mm-hmm. And it has rules, but they are quite different. And we're just beginning to, I say we as if I were doing some of the research, we're learning about it. And we're learning things like in the quantum universe, it's possible to be in more than one place at the same time. Wouldn't that be a fun thing to have?
It would. You know what I find?
It's also possible to not be anywhere. And manifest anywhere, and then all of a sudden spring into being somewhere 100 miles away from where you were when you started. So it's a peculiar universe, does have rules, but they're quite different. So
yeah, very, very fascinating. That one of the things when I remember when I was learning quantum physics, that, and even when I was learning psychology back in college, is that when something is observed, it changes because of the observation. Mm-hmm. So what scientists found was that particles that were being observed behaved differently. They actually, there was an effect by the observer on the particles.
One of the most interesting ones, right? Just that we have this famous experiment with light, and they wanted to know if light is a particle or a wave. And so what they found out was that yes is the answer. If you if you go looking for a particle, that's exactly what you find. If you go looking for a wave, that's what you'll find. Same light, same photon, can act either way, depending on what you expect, you know. So
yes,
that's, again, an aspect of the quantum field that we don't understand at all, because we're not aware of changing stuff just because we look at it. That's that old saying about if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there, is the man still wrong?
Yeah. You know, is the man still wrong?
Anyway, there are all kind of rules about how this works.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I remember that joke. Oh, gosh. Well, you know, getting back to particles and like attracting like, you and I are working together because we are of like mind, like intention. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk a little bit about entrainment and homeopathy and giving you examples of the fact that when something is vibrating at a certain rate, it's going to be harmonious with anything else that is vibrating at the same rate. Mm-hmm. And birds of a feather flock together. In homeopathy, which is a form of natural healthcare, natural medicine, they take the tiniest amount of something that has a vibration that is the same as the solution to your problem, the same as the problem. And because it has the same vibration, it somehow heals, allows the body to heal. Mm-hmm. And that's as far as I'm going to go with homeopathy because it's quite complex. But mm-hmm. like attracts like, and like can heal like. Mm-hmm. And so when we said thoughts are electrical and emotions are magnetic, the thoughts tell the universe, tell the quantum field what you want. And then the emotions expand that and make it so that it's attracting it because the emotions are a frequency. So as I said, hatred and anger are low frequency, and that kind of coincides with not a great life. And higher frequency emotions coincide with a great life. And so this is the whole self-fulfilling prophecy. It's the thing that, you know, people know about the self-fulfilling prophecy, but really it's the law of attraction, and it's always on. There is never a time that you're not having an effect on the quantum field. You're always an effect of the quantum field.
And being affected by it also. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And your body is part of the quantum field, and mm-hmm. your body is vibrating. So everything that you say to yourself and everything that you have your attention on is affected because it's all frequency. It's all, so you're surrounded in this soup called the quantum field. So, Dr. Art, talk about the other foundational concept of the subconscious mind, because, you know, we're still in the scientific, because there's science to the brain, the mind, the conscious, the subconscious, mm-hmm. and we're moving into the spiritual as well. So maybe you can talk about that.
Yeah. Talk about realities just briefly. We know that we have two. There's that external reality is what's going on out there in the universe, you know, and we also have an internal reality in here, and they affect each other. And we've made up a word that I love to use as a hypnotist called mind, M-I-N-D. We don't know what it is or where it is or anything about that. We've never found one when they've done an autopsy. There's never, you find a brain, but you can't find a mind. So we use conscious mind, unconscious mind. It's you could say function. There's a conscious function and an unconscious function, or conscious processes and unconscious processes. We know a little bit about how they work differently. The conscious mind is the decision maker. It loves to analyze and figure out stuff and organize it and see how it works, things like that. And the unconscious is the implementer. So the conscious mind will make a decision that says, I want X. The unconscious could never do that. It doesn't decide that it wants anything. It's busy running your body, beating your heart, breathing for you, everything. And it's available to do other things if you ask it in the right way. But if you don't ask it, it won't. And so what it needs to know, for example, is what do you want? But it doesn't want words. A lot of people complain about, I've learned about affirmations and I've been affirming something for the last 10 years and it's never come true. Well, they're affirming the words, and the unconscious does not manifest words. It manifests things and events and experiences.
Pictures, yeah.
Pictures. So it works with raw sensory data. What does it look like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? Maybe taste and smell, not so much usually. So if you want to speak to the universe through your unconscious processes, you got to use pictures and sounds and feelings. I mean, that's the language it understands. And so Dr. Chris and I both use that a lot. When a client comes in and says, well, I'm having trouble, I need more self-confidence. And we say, so if you had it, what would you be doing? Show me a picture or describe a picture of what you'd be doing if you had more self-confidence. Now the unconscious says, oh yeah, I know what that is. I can get that for you, you know. So it's waiting for the picture. It's also waiting for one other thing, and that's repetition. One picture does not do it, because we usually have a terrible relationship between our conscious and unconscious mind. The unconscious has learned not to trust us, for example. It'll say, you told me you wanted that last week, and then you never mentioned it again. And then you got angry that I didn't get it, and you only said it one time. I didn't know it was that important. My idea is, if it's important enough, you'll repeat it enough that I get it, that you're serious about this. Because I don't want to go chasing off after something, and after a week have you say, oh, I changed my mind. I really want that after all. You know, it's irritated when we do that. And so
yeah.
So we have to do the repetition, which is another word for repetition is practice. And you wouldn't expect to do anything well if you didn't practice. Well, you wouldn't implement a new behavior pattern unless you practiced it. So to install it into your unconscious process, you got to repeat it enough that your unconscious finally says, oh, I got it. I keep seeing that same picture. I know you really want that. You don't have to worry about it. I'll take over. I'll get it for you. And then it's yeah. done.
And doing it with emotion that amplifies how the feeling, like you said, what will it look like? Yeah. Yes. What will it look like? What will it sound like? What will it feel like? This is how, because the emotions are the magnet, then if you're just picturing it, but there's no joy, there's no excitement, that's not going to do it.
Yeah.
So the purpose of doing the repetition is to feel the feeling of the thing that you want as if it's already there.
It's already there, yeah.
Absolutely. And that's the thing is, you know, there's a story that we've told before, Dr. Art, of it was a study with basketball teams. Mm-hmm. And one team practiced actually, the other practiced in their minds, and the third didn't practice at all.
At all, yeah.
And the ones that practiced in their minds improved almost as much as the ones that actually practiced. And of course, the ones that didn't practice didn't improve.
Right.
So when they were practicing, because the mind doesn't know the difference between what's real and what's imagined. So when you're acting as if, when you are imagining that you have this thing fulfilled with the dominant thought, the dominant emotion, you're actually in a movie. You're in an experience and knowing that what you want is already here. Mm-hmm. And that's the purpose. That's part of the purpose of hypnosis, is so that you can, your subconscious mind goes, oh, they're really serious. And there's a lot of feeling behind it. Right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to work really hard to get that. And mm-hmm. yeah, it's amazing. And you have this picture in your mind about what it is that you want. And what I advise my clients to do is picture that two different ways. If I ask somebody, so imagine, let's say you wanted self-confidence. I say, okay, so imagine yourself having self-confidence. Now, I want to ask a question about the way you imagined it. Could you see yourself when you were imagining that picture? And say, oh yeah, I can say I'm up on the stage or I'm driving a car, I'm doing whatever I'm doing. And yeah, I can see me. I said, okay, that's called dissociated. You're out of your body. That's the way you would look being successful to somebody else. That's what they would see. Mm-hmm. So that's very important, very useful for your unconscious to know. But now what I want you to do is step into your body and look out through your eyes. Now you can't see yourself anymore because you're in there. And look out and see what you see. So I was a guy that wanted a red convertible. And I said, so imagine yourself as having that. And so what do you see? And he said, well, I see the car going down the road and I'm sitting there and my little scarf is blowing in the wind and everything. And I say, well, that's wonderful. That helps your unconscious know a little bit about it. But what I want you to do now is step into your body. Now tell me what you can see. You're in your body. You're looking out through your eyes. And he said, well, I can't see me anymore. I said, no, you can't. What can you see? Well, all I see is the hood of the car out in front of me, you know, and the top of the steering wheel. I said, that's right. That's exactly right. That's what you would see. And you get the feel of the car going down and the wind blowing through. If you're watching yourself, you don't feel that wind. You're watching somebody else.
Right.
I want you to experience it both ways, because now your unconscious says, oh, you're talking about us having that car. Oh, I thought you were, you know, somebody else going to have that car you wanted. Oh, you mean we're going to get that. Okay, got it. So every little bit of information, visual, that you can provide to your unconscious is very, very helpful, along with those strong feelings of if I ask them, so how would that feel if you had that? Oh, that'd be nice. You know, I'd say your unconscious is not going to pay much attention to that. It's got to be really strong, very powerful emotion. And you're going to have to repeat it. You're going to have to show that you're serious by putting it in there over and over and over again. And so that's a secret of getting the life you want, is you got to be able to envision. So what does that life look like? You know, how would I look in it to somebody else? And how would I look if I was actually in my body doing whatever it is I want to do? And, it's really helpful.
It's very helpful, Dr. Art. And one of the things that is so true is that people know what they don't want. They see the contrast in their world between what they want and they're not even sure how to define it. They haven't made it clear. They just know that they're unhappy with what they're seeing. And there's an amazing woman named Marina Jacobi, and she says, you have to create it to see it. In other words, you have to create it inside you before you're going to see it in the world. Mm-hmm. Also, your subconscious mind does not know don't. It doesn't know not. And it doesn't know no. It's very important that you be focusing on the what you want and the why you want it, and really be clear about what you want. Because like you said, you want to imprint a picture, but also an experience. And so, you know, sometimes people are going for money, and you can picture money, but that's not a feeling. Mm-hmm. Money is not of itself an event or an experience. It's why do you want the money? What will it feel like to have that money? What will it feel like to be able to buy the presents for your family or the needs for your family? Or what will you feel like when you have that money?
And what will it enable you to be or have or do or something? You know, there's a translation. Yeah, a big pile of money doesn't really amount to much of anything. And it's all it is potential. And if you don't ever define what that potential is, your unconscious is waiting for more information. Also, the word try is bad. I have a little goofy thing I do, and people say, well, what's the difference about try? And I said, okay, well, here's a pencil on the table. I want you to try to pick up the pencil. And they just reach over and pick it up. And I said, no, You picked it up. You didn't try. You actually picked it up. I want you to just try and pick it up. So then they start fumbling with it, you know. I said, now you see why you don't use try. Try means not succeeding.
Exactly.
So what are you doing? Well, I'm trying to fix this car. Well, that must mean you're not getting it fixed because you're still trying. If you were doing it, you'd just be repairing the car. You're not trying to repair it. You're actually doing it. So there are catchwords and phrases like that that we can advise people on as clients. Here's where you may be self-sabotaging. You know, why you're not getting what you want is you've used some language that your unconscious, you know, can't process properly.
Exactly. I just want to do a real brief station break to let people, if you've just tuned in, this is New Reality Solutions. We bring you solutions to everyday problems of stress, anxiety, how to create what you want is the topic tonight. We talk about all kinds of things that give you a way to have a better life and a better experience of being you. And we provide as many solutions on the show as we possibly can so that you can really leverage the information and not just listen, but actually take it and run with it. So I do want to say you can call into the show and join our conversation. If you would like to ask a question, the numbers are on the screen. And if you're in the U.S., you can dial direct at 1-888-627-6008. If you're outside the U.S., and you have to dial direct 1-323-744-4831. So if, like I said, if you want to call and ask a question, if you want to talk to us, we're happy to do that and get some coaching on the law of attraction. But meanwhile, Dr. Art, I'm looking at my list and we've covered quite a bit. Just to recap, I want people, like I just said, I want people to walk away with some practical steps. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is to understanding everything is energy. Understanding that your thoughts are electrical and your emotions are magnetic, and that you are leveraging the quantum field using frequency, and the higher emotions are the higher frequency that's going to bring you the good in the world, the good that you seek, and that it requires that you put pictures into your subconscious mind of what you want, but not just the pictures, the experience. Like Dr. Art said, if you're looking at yourself in the picture in your mind, then you're not in the experience. So you want to be driving the car that you want, and you want to feel the wind on your face if the windows are open or if it's a convertible. You want to feel the leather or whatever it is that is the interior of your car. You want to smell that new car feeling. So you're going to use your senses to imagine. And one of the things I wanted to bring up, Dr. Art, is for some people, visualization is difficult, but also if there's a doubt and fear and huge attachment to the outcome, and they feel bad when they think about money or a car or a lover. When you feel bad about that, then the key here is to think about the essence feeling that you need to have to manifest the thing you want. So you avoid thinking about what makes you feel bad. If there's no lover there and you're feeling lonely, you have to find ways to feel love, to feel love of yourself. You could enjoy your cat, your dog, petting them, loving them, them licking you. That's love. And getting into the feeling of love without it being attached to a person has to be there.
Yeah.
So that's another piece that I did want to bring up. And then we talked about remove don't, remove not, remove no, focus on the what and not the why. I mean, focus on the what and the why, not the how. Because the how, now the how is getting into the spiritual, the quantum field, the universal energy. Go ahead, Dr. Art.
Well, and that's what the unconscious is great at. As soon as you put this picture and these good feelings in that describe what you want, there is a part of us that's called a reticular activating system, RAS. It's a little nodule on the top of the spine, base of the brain. And what happens when you get a picture of something that you want, this RAS will go and look for that or something similar to that, that it can highlight for you and bring it up. And the example I use is I bought an orange VW Beetle a long time ago, and I just thought it was the most amazing car, and I got it. And all of a sudden, I saw the orange VW Beetles everywhere, you know. It's because I had turned on my reticular activating system that said, oh, this is important to you. Let me show you how many of them are out there. They were there the whole time.
Yeah.
But they weren't important, so the RAS didn't pick it up. So the RAS is like a radio receiver. It's got a tuning dial, and it's tuning across the reality. It's just out there looking back and forth, and when it finds something, it thinks, oh, I think that's interesting to you. I'm going to wang up the volume real high on that thing, and it'll almost pop off the page or pop out of the screen or whatever you're, you know, where it notices it, to make sure you see it. And so the how it attached to the unconscious has so many more ways for you to accomplish your goal than you could ever figure out consciously. And that's why all you have to do is just say, here's what I want. The unconscious will use that as a problem to solve and say, okay, my job now is to go out and figure out how to bring that out of your internal reality into your external reality. I'm the processor. You made the decision. I can't do that. But once you tell me what you want, I can go to work on that. I can really, really do it. But if you just say, I want a red car, I want a red car, I want a red car, and you're just mouthing the words with no pictures to it, the unconscious has a little bit of trouble with that. It's not nearly as conversant as it is with the raw sensory data. Words, as you know, we take an experience and we translate into words. So if you went to a concert and I said, how was it? And you said, it was fantastic. I have no idea what the concert was like. You put a word on it that I know you enjoyed it. I know you thought it was wonderful. What was it like? I have no idea. And you can't give me that raw sensory data without thousands of words to try to figure out how to express, you know, what did it smell like? What did it look like? What did it sound like? What did it feel like being there? And one picture takes care of all of that for your unconscious. It'll just pick that up and run with it and say, okay, I got it. Especially when you do it over and over and over again.
So that's incredible. And now we get to the part that I think people think that the law of attraction is just simply magic, and it's not. It is a law. It is like gravity. And you have to make plans and take action. But what's beautiful about the subconscious mind saying, now it's my turn to go to work and figure out how to take your internal reality and make it external, is that now we're getting into the intuitive and spiritual, and the fact that you are part of the quantum field, and the quantum field is being affected by your thoughts and your emotions. You're actually causing an effect with your frequency. So now you're going to ask your higher self, your intuition, the quantum field, the divine matrix, as Greg Braden calls it, you're going to now ask for inspired actions to take. So this is where it's absolutely important to write down your goals. You're not only doing the internal visualization, the picture, the feeling, but now you're actually setting it with a time frame and action steps that are coming from your internal voice. And for many people, they are so busy listening to the outer world instead of their inner world. But when you're tuned into the quantum field, and you know, you can call the quantum field God, or you can call it the quantum field.
The universe.
It's not a religious thing. It's a spiritual aspect of life. And so if spiritual means that we're all in this particle soup, then we're all connected. And Greg Braden talks about the fact that we really are all connected within this divine matrix of energy.
That's so, where the entanglement comes in. We're all entangled with each other, whether we like it or not. You know, you can't not be tangled. If you're here, that's going to be the case. And it can either be a positive or a negative experience, depending. Now, one of the things that we were talking before, Dr. Chris, we've been talking about, you've got to raise your vibration, you've got to raise your vibration. How do you do that? Well, one of the best ways, according to Dr. Bruce Lipton, who's a research cellular biologist, he said all of our cells, we have 50 trillion cells in our mind-body system, and they all live in a medium. All cells live in some kind of a medium. And he said the medium of the body is blood. And so you need to do something to make sure that your blood is a very rich source of energy and food and oxygen and nutrients and water and things that that cells need. And the way to do that is to adopt an attitude of gratitude. So when you have these practices, like every morning you wake up and say, I'm going to think of three things that I am going to be thankful for today. You're putting that attitude of gratitude. That is immediately raising your vibration level. Mm-hmm. If you I'm going to think at the end of the day, what was three different things that now that the day's gone by and I can review it, what are some things that I can be thankful for that happened, three different things now? Now you're, again, so morning and evening, you're raising your vibration level, and that will, you're training yourself. Now, one of the interesting things that you'd think, well, blood, okay, so what's that? They've actually done laboratory tests and found out that the biochemistry of the blood actually changes when you do that. So you're not just blah, 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 and I'm going to say these words. You're really affecting the way your physical body works, and you're changing your internal biochemistry, and that has an effect on all of your cells. Just imagine, how do you think you could fail if you had 50 trillion partners working with you to get what you wanted? And you can have just that, because it's all your cells working for you at the same time.
You know, there was an experiment to illustrate the effect of your thoughts and feelings on your external environment. Mm-hmm. And it was where they took the DNA from a person and took it 50 miles away to another lab. And they had the person feeling different emotions and imagining different things, I believe. I don't remember the total thing, but what I do remember is that what the person was feeling was changing the DNA. And it was a direct correlation, no matter whether it was in the same room or 50 miles away.
50 miles away, yeah.
Yeah, it's very powerful.
This quantum universe doesn't react to time and space the way the Newtonian, the world we live in, is very much involved in time and space. Quantum, not so much. So you would think that, well, if I get far enough away, the effect would diminish, but not necessarily in the quantum. It does in the Newtonian world we live in. If you're real far away, you can get so far away that I can yell my head off and you don't even hear me. In the quantum universe, you could whisper and it can be heard 1,000 miles away. I mean, it's just a whole different thing. It's fun to imagine being, it's a universe we'll never really live in the sense of experiencing it, you know, on a day-to-day or minute-to-minute basis. But just trying to imagine, so what in the world would it be like to be in the quantum universe, to be able to manifest something out of, there's plenty of energy available. There are plenty of molecules available. You ought to be able to manifest a hamburger. Just say, I want a hamburger, you know, boom. And I truly believe one day
we'll
be
able to do
that. An apple would be okay too. But there is a quantum physicist who said, I am pretty sure that if we removed all of the doubt from all 50 trillion of our cells, we could do whatever we want. He said, I personally am convinced that I could walk on water if I believed at the cellular level, if I believed that I could do it, then I could. And what keeps me from it is that I don't think I can. I can say, oh yeah, I can do that, you know, but deep down, I don't think I really can. That's exactly what keeps us from being able to. So this idea of removing doubt is just one of the humongous things that we can do for ourselves, because doubt just destroys all of our good intentions, all of our good works and everything. We just tear it all apart as soon as doubt comes in. So, well, but that attitude of gratitude is a way to raise your vibration level. It's really,
this is so key, Dr. Art. And the doubt problem is also often tied to what you believe. So if your beliefs are not supporting what you want, mm-hmm. or you've tried to get what you want, but you keep butting up against beliefs that say, no, you can't, no, you can't, it's time to look at your beliefs and reprogram your brain. Right. And so one of the things we're offering tonight is a free handout to teach you the emotional freedom technique, which is a fabulous technique for helping you get rid of negative beliefs and negative emotions that seem stuck inside of you. So if you want that, you will email us at contactnrshow@gmail.com. And thank you, Thomas. He's putting our email on the screen. It's contactnrshow@gmail.com. And if you're listening, NR, new reality, contact nrshow@gmail.com. So we'll send you how to do emotional freedom technique. And it's very simple and it's very powerful. So I wanted to talk about something that you said, something that we were trying to illustrate how you affect the quantum field. And just one more illustration is when people or societies on different parts of the world, and an invention happens on one continent and there's an inventor on the other continent that got the same download from the quantum field. Mm-hmm. Or they did this with, you know, when one monkey learned to wash the food, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, all of the monkeys around the world of that species learned to wash their food in the water. Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly what creature it was, but I think it was monkeys.
This monkey, there's a little monkey colony on an island off the coast of Japan, and they were studying, anthropologists were studying it, and there was a bad year for fruit growing, and so they were trying to decide how we're going to keep these monkeys alive. Is, well, we've got to take food over the island, but they didn't want to interfere with the society of the monkeys, so they took it over in the middle of the night in a boat and just piled it on the beach and then left where the monkeys were all asleep. And so the monkey came out and picked up a piece of fruit and bit into it. It was all covered with sand. The wind had been blowing and the dew on the fruit, and they just spit it out and threw it down, you know. And after a couple of days of that, some, as you might know, the way the story goes, the older female monkey came down and picked up some fruit and went out and swished it around and washed it off and started eating again. And all the other monkeys watching, you know, nobody did anything that time. But the next time, monkey see, monkey do. One of them said, well, I want to do that too. She seems to be getting all the fruit she wants to eat and it tastes good. So the story goes that as soon as the 100th monkey in that colony started washing fruit, then fruit washing, which was not up until that point a normal, natural monkey behavior, suddenly every monkey in the world started washing fruit. And just, mm-hmm. But here's how Einstein called this spooky action at a distance, and he never could explain it, and it really distressed him. The same thing happened when scientists were trying to cause a particular compound to crystallize. And they had labs all over the world trying to get they were the high pressure, high temperature, all kind of things that they were adding to it, catalysts and trying to try to get the crystallized, wouldn't do it. All of a sudden in a lab somewhere, it crystallized, and it crystallized everywhere in the world at the same instant. So these labs were all, oh, we got this. It happened. You know, what time was it? 7:48. Oh, we did it at 7:47, you know. So it was, apparently there is energetic information transfer going on among inanimate things as well as animate things. And that's the part we really don't understand. How could that
be? Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's where the spiritual and the faith and the belief that this is possible comes in. We're running out of time. So what I want to do is give daily power practices that we put down. Because we've talked about so many concepts, so there are some takeaways here. So you want to have a dominant thought and review your goals on a regular basis. You want to be having clear pictures, strong emotions, and repeat it over and over again so that you're actually having the experience. What does it look like, feel like? How would I walk? How would I talk? What would I be doing? What would I be thinking? And then affirmations, which I'll have you explain in a minute, turning negative statements into positive ones, or at least into possibilities if you can't turn them into totally positive, removing that it'll never, and just being aware of your negative thoughts and changing them as you're aware. If you say something negative, turn it around. Noticing the slightest amount of good happening. Now, it can be a slight amount of good happening towards your goal. Like if your goal is $1,000 this month and you find a penny on the ground, that is evidence. I know it's small, but it's really the same thing. You're manifesting, noticing it, going, love that penny. Be excited about that penny. Oh, look, I'm going closer to my $1,000.
Yeah.
And really, it's about also, as we said, the essence feeling. So noticing the good things that happen, like somebody treats you to a cup of coffee, or you're on a walk and you see the beauty of nature. These are all evidence of good in your life. So
there are two words that really help out too. Mm-hmm. And they're yet and temporary.
Yes.
So we can say, what I want is to be able to walk up and down the beach and not have this back pain. And you say this temporary back pain.
Yes.
That I'm not cured. I'm not well yet. But so temporary and yet are really powerful things you can add to statements that you may make. And they give you an enormous amount of power when you do that.
Yes. And also, you may have a time frame, but the universe has the real time frame.
Yeah.
So checking a pot to see if it's going to boil is how you stop things from coming to you. Mm-hmm. So you want to be sure to keep noticing evidence and keep practicing these power practices. And it will manifest in the most amazing way. Like you said, Dr. Art, you know, you don't even know what the universe can bring to you or how it can bring it to you. That's why we say, don't focus on the how. Make your plans from inspired inspiration, intuition, but the universe will know the way, and you'll meet people that you wouldn't have met. You may get a phone call and something, you know, something comes your way. So these are power practices. I do want to say what's happening next show, because we're pretty excited. We're going to have an author named Anne Paparotti. She's the co-author of The Gift of Shift, Discover the Key Within to Unlock Your Best Life. She teaches how to recognize and embrace how hardships and challenge are actually gifts for change. So she's going to be a pretty cool guest. And you can, let's see, I guess that's it. Anything you want to kind of wrap up with what we've been taught? Oh, I did want to say, if you want that EFT handout, Emotional Freedom Technique, contact us at contactnrshow@gmail.com. And we will send that to you at no charge at all. So any parting words, Dr. Art?
Well, just a couple of things that you might review if you've got a goal. We talked about testing it and making sure that it's good for you, good for the people you care about, good for the universe. You can also say, if I get this, how will I be different? If I do achieve this goal that I want, how is that going to change me? And you might find that there are some changes that are going to happen, because you're going to have to let go of some things. You can't just keep adding stuff the rest of your life. So I use that change as like climbing a ladder. You know, if you want to go up the ladder, you've got to be willing to let go of something, or you're stuck wherever you, you know, wherever you held on to. And so just think about, so what am I going to give up when I get this goal, accomplish this goal? And believe me, there are things you will give up. And what am I going to get by doing that? So there are consequences to goal achievement, and you don't want to be blindsided by that. You want to be sure that you've got a real rich understanding of how this is going to change me and how it's going to change other people, and how, you know, I'm going to give up being negative, for example. That's one of the things. If I don't, I'm not going to accomplish this goal. So just kind of look around and test yourself on how is this going to change me when I am successful and I do get what I want. What is that going to do for my relationships with my family, with my colleagues at work, or with other people? It will have an effect. And a lot of times people will want to put you back into the little person that they always knew. They got a box that you fit into, and all of a sudden you want to get out of the box, and it really causes turmoil for them. You know, they want to be happy for you, but they say, oh, now I got a whole new person to learn about here, you know. I already know this other one. So just kind of take a look at how success is going to enter into your life, into your behaviors, into your attitudes, into your relationships, because it will enter, definitely.
Yes. In fact, as soon as you set a goal that is a higher vibration than where you've been, mm-hmm. that is more of a, you want more from the universe, and you're saying, I want this. This is great. Everything that is not that vibration is going to show up to be released. Yeah. It's almost,
gotta let go.
Yeah. It's like clockwork. So just be prepared for that. Know mm-hmm. that it's a gift that you are being given to examine, okay, this is this vibration over here, and I want this over here. I guess I have to let go of this. And it could be a person. It can be a job. It
could be a location.
A relocation. But the fact is that the universe knows, your subconscious mind knows, the quantum field knows how to bring you what you want.
What you want. Yeah.
So with that, I think it's been a good show.
Yes,
I hope you've enjoyed it.
Enjoyed it too. I certainly have. Thank you, Dr. Chris, for all you brought today.
Well, you too, Dr. Art. I'm always loving everything you have to say. And to our listeners, we hope you got great value tonight. And we will see you next week with our guest, Ann Paparotti, on The Gift of the Shift. So thanks for joining us, and certainly write us if you want the free handout.
Please do. Yeah.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us. If you've enjoyed this show, please consider being a supporter. You can find that on our show page. Tune in every Friday night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/New Reality Show for announcements of upcoming topics and exciting guest interviews. Bye for now.